humble apologies. Our situation. We'll try and be as brief as possible, but cover all our bases. Nicolette and Babalba, we're not going to do the minutes or anything like that. We'll get straight into the clause by clause understanding and recommendations. Babalba, do we have a quorum? Good morning. We do have a quorum. Good morning, Mr. Ramaru. Good morning, Honorable Peacock, Honorable Blanche.
Morning, Chairperson.
Meshu, Honorable Meshu. Can we do the apologies? Mbeni is here. Marekwa is here. Molekwa is here. Sheikh Mam. We definitely have a quorum. Good morning, Dr. Groenewald. We have a quorum. Do we have the apologies, Babalba?
Yes, Chair, I received the apologies from the minister. He won't be able to attend the meeting due to a launch of safer season in KZN. Mr. Whitfield is not going to attend the meeting as well. Ms. Peacock, she indicated that she will leave the meeting early today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The committee, we are going to adopt the report and do
recording in progress
and do the clause by clause analysis and recommendations for amendments. Babalba and Nicolette, could you flag the agenda, please? Do I have a proposal for the adoption of the agenda?
I move, Chair. Honorable Siabi.
Honorable Siabi moves. Do we have a seconder?
A second, Chairperson.
We have a seconder from Honorable Mesh. Nicolette, could you now give us the public participation report? Honourable members, you've received the public participation report. I'm not going to go through line by line. You have received this well in time. You could go. That was page 1, page 2. Please stop me if there's any comments you'd like to make or amendments. Page 4, 5, 6. I hope you have read these inputs because we have to look at the bill clause by clause today, and we have to do the proposed amendments. The report is only for noting in the National Assembly and will go direct to the Presidency. This report goes to the National Assembly for noting. The report is only for notice in the National Assembly, not for debating. Twenty-one. be considered for noting? Agreed? Honorable members, the report to be considered for noting, do I have a proposal?
Agreed,
I
Chair.
I propose, Chair.
Agreed. The report is... Yes, Honorable Tabanch.
Chairperson, we as a DA reserve our rights.
I'm coming to you now. DA, you reserve your rights. EFF?
Yes, I reserve my rights, Chairperson.
Freedom Front?
Approved, Honorable Chair.
Oh, wonderful, thank you. Honorable Meshu? You reserve your rights.
Yes, Chairperson, I do.
Sheikh Imam, thank you. Sheikh Imam? I don't seem to be able to find Sheikh Imam. Ms. Morton, could you please mute your mic? Could we then now, as a next item on the agenda, I would then like to have Dr. Jacobs do the presentation. And after Dr. Jacobs has done the presentation, we'll do the bill on clause-by-clause basis. Dr. Jacobs, you may start now.
Chairperson?
Yes?
My apologies. I just got a notice that 10 o'clock we have load shedding. Between 10 and 12 we have load shedding.
Yes, that is why... Yes, we all have time constraints, and it's not as if we are writing the bill. But we've dealt with the bill considerably. We've participated in the bill. We've had extensive public participation. And I think that now that the report can go to the National Assembly for noting, we'll take the major concern, the most that the public participants raised, was the definition of terrorist activity. I then asked Dr. Jacobs just take us through this definition of terrorist activity before we do the clause-by-clause proposal and adoption. Dr. Jacobs, you may start now.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the committee for the invitation. I think there is a need to also look at the historic context of the specific definition to understand exactly where it comes from. The legislation on terrorism, sabotage and subversion during the apartheid era was in the Internal Security Act after recommendations by the Rabi Commission of Inquiry. The act was one of an arsenal of what was referred to as security legislation, also such as the Public Safety Act. The Internal Security Act provided for already wide powers relating to restriction, banning and preventive detention, detention for interrogation without trial, and the banning and other restrictions regarding publications and gatherings. The Public Safety Act provided for declaration of state of emergency, and later when that had such a negative effect, the act was changed to allow for the making of actually emergency regulations during what was called unrest areas. All these legislation were applied in a vacuum of judicial oversight and in without a constitutional dispensation. During the transition from apartheid to democracy between 1990 and 1994, many provisions of the Internal Security Act had been repealed, and the act was rationalized by the repeal of 36 similar laws in the TBVC states. We can go to the next slide, please. Chairperson, as a result of the negative history of security legislation, it was realized that a comprehensive and as inclusive possible consultative process should precede the review of security legislation. And the then Minister of Law and Order requested the Minister of Justice to review security legislation through the South African Law Commission, now called the SA Law Reform Commission. This led to a commission project chaired by the Honorable Madam Justice J.Y. Mokgoro, and resulted into a report dated 2002 in two volumes and totaling 1,046 pages. The report was also preceded by a discussion paper made available for public comments. The Law Commission process included the full spectrum of public consultation and was extremely thorough and comprehensive. It also included a comparative legal study of legislation of countries such as Australia, New Zealand and Canada. The advantage of both the African regional response and the global response, including legislative response to the 9/11 events in the USA, amongst other issues, informed the report. The report formed the basis of the bill, which culminated in the adoption of the Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorist and Related Activities Amendment Act 2004. The bill was at the time considered jointly by the Justice and Constitutional Development and the Portfolio Committee on Safety and Security, and the drafting process was led by the South African Police Service, but also included representatives from the South African Law Commission, the Financial Intelligence Center, and the National Prosecuting Authority. Chairperson, the Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorist and Related Activities Amendment Bill was at that time deliberated over quite some time in Parliament, and there had been huge public interest as well as intensive public hearings and participation before the joint portfolio committees. Terrorism is a phenomenon as a phenomenon.
Dr. Jacobs, sorry, Chair. I was saying that if the background, without going into each paragraph, just to say the background explains itself and then you go to the details, because there is time constraints. Members have said they will be out of, there will be load shedding at 10, so we'll have difficulties, Dr. Jacobs. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you, Dr. Jacobs, you have to be brief.
Chairperson, to summarize this, and the presentation is available, to say that the definition of terrorist activity received very, very intensive attention from the Portfolio Committee at the time, and it was also based on the Canadian model. We can go to the next slide, please. It is the crux of the Act, and requires an act. It also requires specific intention. We can go to the next slide. And the required intention, I'm also not going to go into the details thereof. It is in the existing definition of the bill, of the Act. And then lastly, the definition requires a motive, which can be an ideological or philosophical or political motive. Next slide, please. Chair, there are only a few amendments and insertions that's requested through the bill. And the first one relates to weapons of mass destruction, and I think it doesn't need much argument to say that this should be included in the bill. The question of the insertion of to create a serious public emergency situation or general insurrection in the Republic, that is clear from the title of the Act that it is actually aimed at unconstitutional means to obtain political change in the country. And ISIS in Syria has established its own government by means of violence, and that is exactly the example that we can use in this regard. The next slide, please. It's proposed to insert an additional act which may be committed as an element of the definition, cause of destruction or substantial damage or interference to an information infrastructure. Chairperson, the bill also proposes to address the issue of cybercrime and the importance of the information infrastructure is important or can be seen from the time when the Department of Justice had huge problems in terms of the system they are using. Then various offences are proposed in the from the Cyber Crimes Bill, and that is
no, the, person who's flighting this thing is going ahead of Dr. Jacobs, and that is not what we're saying he should do.
Thank you, Chairperson, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, the Cyber Crimes Act was adopted by Parliament, but in the committee it was decided that the issue of cyber terrorism should rather be addressed in the terrorism legislation, and that is exactly what was done. Then, further to the alternative intention is proposed to further the objectives of an entity engaged in terrorist activity. You can go to the next slide, please. Chairperson, there's already an offence in section 14 which relates to aid, abet, induce, incite, instigate, instruct, or command, or procure a person to commit an offence in terms of this act. This specific proposal, I think, might be unnecessary and, in my view, can be deleted. The next slide, please. Chair, what is most important is that the bill proposes to delete paragraph C of the definition, and that is the motive requirement. And the definition of terrorist activity in South Africa, as I said, was largely based on the Canadian definition. Next slide, please. Chair, in Canada, there was a case against Mr. Mohamed Khabaja, and in that case, the Supreme Court of Canada, in a pre-trial process, found that the motive requirement in the Canadian Act, which is similar to ours, was unconstitutional and unnecessary. If we look at the arguments of the judge on the next slide, it was clear that such a motive is actually, to a large extent, irrelevant to prove the crime itself, and it is actually irrelevant for what reason it is included in the definition. So the court found it's unconstitutional, but what is important here is that it was a pre-trial and the court split the motive requirement from the rest of the section, and the accused was then prosecuted, found guilty. He appealed, and on appeal, his appeal was rejected. In other words, this did not endanger the prosecution that was ongoing by the court taking away the motive required. The next slide, please. I've also just mentioned the observations from Kent Roach, which was public in the SACGJ in that publication, and which is clear that motive requirement is not really correct to be included in the bill or in the act itself. So that from there, the recommendation to remove that from the act itself. Next slide, please. Chairperson, there was also submissions by the Sussex Terrorism and Extremism Research Network, which make it clear that from their side as well, they support the removal of the motive requirement from the Act. Next slide, please. Chair, the conclusion is that it would not be wise to narrow down the definition of terrorist activity in the Act. When the present Act was drafted and considered, Parliament paid the deserved attention to this crucial definition. There had been intensive public interest, participation, etc., and that definition is in the law book since 2004. It actually was discussed, although not challenged, in the OCA matter, and the court said, in compacted form, the definition includes any act committed in or outside the Republic that creates specified deleterious effects. Is intended to cause certain effects and is committed for the purpose of the advancement of an individual or collective political, etc., objective, course, or undertaking. Next slide, please. The interrelation. relationship between the definition of terrorist activity, the offense of terrorism, and the extraterritorial jurisdiction in the Act are interwoven. The Constitutional Court said that the Act creates a carefully interconnecting web linking the offense of terrorism in Section 2, the definition of terrorist activity, and the conferral of extraterritorial jurisdiction in Section 50. In respect of the proposed insertions into the definition of terrorist activity, these are motivated as explained under the respective proposals above. Only the proposed insertion of an alternative intention relating to the furthering the objectives of an entity engaged in terrorist activity seems to be unnecessary. The definition of terrorist activity should therefore not be restricted and expanded as proposed in the bill. In other words, Chair, just to make it clear, the present definition should not be narrowed down, but the proposals that are made through the bill should be entertained, in my view, except for that one issue about the intention that is added. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jacobs. Mr. Ramaru, it is your opportunity now before the chairman speaks.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, and honorable Deputy Minister. From our side, we support the proposals in terms of the definition as made by Dr. Jacobs. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable Deputy Minister.
No, thanks, Chair. I think Dr. Jacobs presented our view adequately. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, you do understand that the report that we have noted was the report which will be an integral part of the President's signing of the bill. So once the bill has been approved by Parliament, we'll send the report to the National Assembly and then it will go directly to the President. I then also ask, thank you very much, Mr. Ramaro, for your team to prepare the clauses on the definition, because that was one of the highly contested clauses which we had. Thank you very much, Dean. Honourable members, would you allow me to now go into the clause by clause discussion, or do you have any further inputs?
You may proceed with class by class.
Thank you very much, Honourable Marekwa. Honourable members, we'll now have the bill flighted so that we could get it close by close. Colette? Colette. We are not going to read it line by line. Nicolette, you will take us through, or is the civilian secretariat going to do it?
Honourable Jefferson, good morning again. As good listener, we'll go through these proposed refinements on the bill.
Thank you very much, Advocate. And then the comments by the member will be taken.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson.
Morning, Advocate Kritzinger. Welcome.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honourable members of the committee, Acting Secretary for Police, and other members and colleagues on the platform this morning. I will be presenting the proposals to the committee today on the refinement of certain clauses in the bill. After Parliament has published the bill in the public for public comments, various written submissions and verbal oral presentations were made to the committee. The Civilian Secretariat for Police and other stakeholder departments were thereafter provided with an opportunity to consider those comments and were also given opportunity to present its responses. At that time, there was also an indication that certain clauses will be refined as a result of the public comments. At this point, I would just like to also thank all key stakeholder departments that has assisted us in drafting these amendments to strengthen the bill. Chairperson, the table that I've drafted that's projected on the screen reflects three columns, of which column one is mentioning the relevant clause to be proposed to be refined, the existing provision in the bill, and also the proposal for refinement. By way of explanation, I have highlighted those deletions from the provisions in bold, yellow, and strike through, and the insertions I've indicated in green. If I can start with the definition of
penalty. Apologies. Good. Would you please mute your mic?
Apologies, Chair.
Thank you. You may continue.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm going to start with the definition of entity that is contained in Clause 1F of the Bill. The concern that was raised about this definition was that it must be clear that the entity that has been removed from the resolution of the UN Security Council and announced by the Minister of Finance, that it will not be considered as an entity any longer. It was then in our responses pointed out that in terms of the Bill, all the United Nations Security Council resolutions, which include financial sanctions, must be published by the Minister of Finance in terms of Section 26, capital A of the FIC Act, and not having any discretion to publish. Application of the provisions of the FIC Act relating to these targeted financial sanctions is determined by the details of the notices of the Director FIC, and includes a notice by the Director that a designation by the United Council no longer applies to an entity. In other words, the entity...
Advocate,
yes.
sorry for interrupting you. I wanted to get to the gist and the importance of proposals. Please be brief, but cover everything.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I'll do so. So when we then considered the responses to this definition, it has been noted that there was a conflict between Clause 25 of the General Laws Amendment Bill currently before Parliament, where that bill deletes the fact that the Minister of Finance will announce the adoption of resolutions by the UN Security Council in the Gazette, and now provides that the Director FIC will publish such a notice. Whereas in the Pokhtatara Bill, and in specific reference to the definition of entity, there are still references to the Section 26, capital A of the FIC. So to align the two pieces of legislation, we have in fact refined this clause by deleting Section 26, capital A from this definition. And as I go through the table, Chairperson will also see that all the other consequential amendments to the rest of the bill, the clauses in the bill that refers to this Section 26A, has also been deleted in order to align the two pieces of legislation. Then I'm moving to Clause 1M, which is indicated on page 1, going on to page 2 of the table. This clause refers to the definition of property. The concerns that were raised here is that the current definition in the Act currently actually encompasses a digital representation under which crypto assets can be read into. But as a response, the department is of the view that crypto assets are neither money or movable or immovable certainty in the definition. And that's why the concept of crypto assets must be actually mentioned in the definition itself. Then we agreed that we will insert the word crypto asset in the definition. We will delete the references to digital representation. But to make clear what actually is meant by crypto asset, we have inserted a new definition in the bill that actually clearly defines what a crypto asset is, and it comes from the part that we've deleted in Clause 1N. Then going on to the next clause, clause 2.
My apologies. Clause 1. Honourable members, any deletions, insertions, corrections you wish to make with clause 1? If you are silent, I will accept that you are happy with these amendments.
Honourable Chair.
Refinements, it's called refinements. Sorry, I know Dr. Groenewald and the Honourable Siabi.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm not going into long discussions. I did support the report because the report, as far as I'm concerned, is a correct reflection of the whole process and the submissions. But Chairperson, I reserve my right on all the clauses. So to make it easy for you, so that I will not support in general, but I will reserve my rights on all the clauses, seeing that you're asking now clause by clause whether we support or not. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Groenewald. If the other political parties would also like to do it in that way, then I do not have to stop the process clause by clause. So if you wish to reserve your right for all the clauses, you could indicate so, and Honorable de Blanche and then Honorable Siabi.
Chairperson, thank you. Let me also start by repeating what the Honorable Groenewald said. We are also reserving our rights on all the clauses. We made our position very clear in the memo that we forwarded to the committee. And then also we also recommended in there that we are of the view that we need to attend to the amendments that have a direct bearing on grey listing on grey listing and the others be held in abeyance. So Chairperson, that is also our position, that we reserve our right on all the clauses. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Blanche. Honourable Siabi.
Thank you, Chair. I think we support clause 1 as presented, especially that it will be refined to include the crypto assets. Now, as presented, we support it. I don't see any problem. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable de Blanche, I didn't get, could we just for the record state, do you reserve your rights for each clause, or would I continue, would you like to do it clause by clause, or continue straight until the end?
Chairperson, thank you. No, you can go straight on till the end. I made it clear that we're reserving our rights on all the clauses. And as I said, we also indicated that in the report that we forwarded to the committee. And yet again, that we must focus on the stuff that is important for
Thank you, Honourable Blanche. I had that. I just wanted to record that you have reserved your right for the records.
Thank you very much.
We'll go to clause 2, so we're not going to interrupt you, Advocate Christina. You may go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 2 sought to amend Section 3 of the Act through the insertion of Section 3.4, where a person commits an offence if he or she receives training and is aware that such training is connected with terrorism. The concerns that were raised with this clause, that it should be further improved to ensure that a specific terrorist in training itself be considered as an offence, and that nowadays training can occur online or through social media, and that it was proposed that online training also be addressed in the clause. So on the screen on page 2, going on to page 3, the committee will see that in section 3 and section 3 sub 4, we have amended those two clauses where we've included online training and we've also included the provision of training and not only the receipt of training. Then, Chairperson, the next clause that I will address for refinement is clause 3. Clause 3 sought to insert section 3 capital A into the after section 3, and section 3 capital A provides for the prohibition of any publications with terrorist related content. The concern that was raised with this particular clause was that its insertion will, amongst others, violate rights to freedom of expression. And it was also mentioned that the state has not adequately explained such invasive measures that is brought by this clause. In response, the department has indicated that, yes, rights such as freedom of expression may be limited, but if the state can prove that all the requirements in terms of Section 36 of the Constitution, which is the limitation clause, have been met, then the limitation can be legitimate. However, it is proposed to the committee that this clause be deleted for the reason that there are other current clauses and offences in the Principal Act, or sections rather in the Principal Act, under which the state may be able to prosecute publications with terrorist-related content. And the clause in its current form may be open for challenges in terms of constitutionality. Okay, then if we go on, if we move on the table, Chairperson, I need to point out that, as I mentioned when I explained the refinements to the definition of entity, that there are other clauses in the bill that also refers to Section 26 capital A. I've indicated that other clauses in the bill will be amended. Now, if the committee looks at table 5, page 5 on the table, up to page 8, before clause 20. Those are the relevant clauses that have been refined through the deletion of reference to Section 26 capital A1. Then I'm going to move on to clause 20 on page 8. Clause 20, the first leg of clause 20 was to insert Section 24 capital A in the bill, which provides for the application for a decryption direction by an officer of the directorate in terms of Section 21 of the Regulation of Interception of Communications and Provision of Communication Related Information Act 2022. I will refer to it as a RICA Act. The Principal Act and the bill are aimed at combating terrorist activities on a local as well as an international level. Section 24A is aimed not at interception of communication, but to ensure that the key to encrypted information on a computer seized by the state can be decrypted for investigation purposes. The concerns that were raised about this clause was that there's a potential abuse seen in RICA legislation, and that it could potentially unjustifiably violate the rights of privacy. In response, Chairperson, the clause and Section 24A is actually only to be applied when the state has, in terms of the law, seized computer equipment where there's already a suspicion that a crime had been committed, and that it's necessary to obtain a decryption order. Such a decryption order can only be obtained through a designated judge in terms of RICA. It is, however, appreciated that the effectivity of the section in its current form is limited, but it's not always the dark web that is used for recruitment of terrorists. Furthermore, South Africa does not provide for this. If South Africa does not provide for this, it may lead to abuse from South Africa through internet service providers to recruit terrorists. Section 24A will be revisited so that it can specifically deal with decryption assistance and passwords or other access technology restrictions on electronic communication devices. A new clause is currently being drafted to also take into account the provisions of Section 29, 34, 35, and 37 of the Cybercrimes Act.
My apologies, Advocate. Honourable Members, if you wish to stop me, please indicate so by raising your hand.
and I'll allow you for questions or additions. Advocate, you may continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Then the second leg of clause 20 was to insert section 24B. Section 24B provides that a member of the directorate may apply to a competent court for an order to remove or to disable access to a publication on an internet or social media site with unlawful terrorism-related content. The concern that was raised with this clause was that it will likely prove to be unenforceable, given that most of the content of the internet is hosted or disseminated by massive companies who act as secondary publishers, or alternatively not hosted on traceable servers. In response, the department indicated that this clause would be amended and that the assistance by electronic communication service providers are required. The clause have been amended to be similar to Section 21 of the Cybercrimes Act. Then lastly, if we move on to the very last page of the table, there's reference to Section 20, Section 22. This is also an amendment in relation to the alignment of the General Laws Amendment Bill to the Bokatara Bill and the deletion of Section 26A in that particular clause. I wish to thank the Chairperson and the committee for giving us the opportunity to present this refinements to the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very, very, very much for all the hard work. I'll thank all the presenters, the secretariat, Honourable Deputy Minister, do you have any comments?
Thanks, Chair. Just to appreciate the work done, there's no further comment to make, Chair, but we appreciate the work that has been put here, your contribution, your leadership, and the committee members and the public for having participated in the processes for the amendment of this legislation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dean, Mr. Amaru, or any other person in your team.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also like to thank the committee through yourself as the Chairperson and all honourable members for the support that you have given us throughout the process of drafting this bill, and also to thank the DM and the Minister in absentia for the guidance and the leadership that they have provided to us throughout the process. We know that without their support and guidance, we wouldn't have reached this stage, and without the support of the committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much once more, Mr. Amaru and your team. This is one of the very technical and sophisticated bill that you have been able to produce. As we said on Wednesday, we would like to see the IPED amendment bill that it comes to the committee. We know that it's out for public consultation. Honourable, next week we will do the A-list on Friday next week. Well, in totality, and the committee report will be submitted. Honourable members, now I take all the political parties, the Freedom Front Plus reserved its sites, the Democratic Alliance reserved its rights, all clauses. Next.
The EFF reserves its rights, Chairperson.
EFF reserves its rights.
ACDP
reserves its rights.
And all clauses also.
All clauses.
The ANC supports the clauses as presented.
Does that mean all clauses?
Yes.
Thank you very much. There was a proposal, there's been a proposal for support and endorsement of all the clauses. Do I have a seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tiko. Honorable members, this past Wednesday, we had a team who presented to the portfolio committee. We had a very young participant from Iberg, Mr. Makulwani. He sadly lost his son. We thank him for attending the meeting, even though his son was undergoing surgery. May the soul of his little young son rest in humble peace. May the message of the condolences of the committee and the staff of the committee kindly please be conveyed to the Makulwani family. Can we do that, please, Babawa? I'm not going to observe a moment of silence. The support of the committee to the family, the bereaved family. Now, I simply want to know that the, as I said, you will take what the next step is that Wednesday we'll have the A-list and then Friday for adoption. Anything else, Nicolette?
Jefferson, no, nothing else, but yeah, I think we are in a good position to finalize the bill next week.
Thank you, Advocate Christina. Anything else you require from the committee?
No, Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you very much once more. The entire team of the Civilian Secretariat, led by Mr. Amaru, you made our task extremely easier, much easier. The political parties, even though they reserved their rights, were able to follow and participate. We took views from all different perspectives. I do not think that there's any stakeholder who claim to have been missed or neglected. We allowed them sufficient time. We extended time for public consultation. I do not want to single out any stakeholder who came to the committee, but the quality of the presentation were of a very high regard, excellent quality, professional, scientific. I appreciate that. I would like to extend my gratitude to the minister, the deputy minister in particular, for assisting the committee, providing all the necessary information and support to the committee. Convey our gratitude to the minister for the hard work done. I would then ask if, before I close, because we've come to the end of our meeting, before I do close, you have all indicated that you are happy with the adoption. Those who reserve their rights, you are happy. You'll continue and you'll say that in the report, and you'll say that you'll have another opportunity when we do the presentation. Honourable members, with that, I declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much to all the honourable members for their participation. Thank you to the staff of the committee, especially Nicolette, for her hard work really processing this bill in such an efficient way and in such a short space of time. Thank you very much. I really have to single out Nicolette, Babawa, Nobesutu. You have assisted us tremendously. The meeting has now been closed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DM. Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Dagi akbar, voorzitter.
Bye. Dankie, Shembeni. Akbar, Shembeni.